Well, today we hear our scriptures from the letter to the Philippians. Consider the letter of joy from Paul as he writes to a beloved congregation who he thinks of fondly. Here's how he writes and shares with them in the midst of the highs and lows of his life. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, Lord, we look to you this day, mindful of those who have gone before us and how they have helped lead us into lives of faith. Mindful this day, O Lord, of the struggles each of us has day in and day out, our highs and lows, and mindful, O Lord, that you are present with us in each of those places. And so, Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us as we reflect on your presence in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, thinking about contentment here in our passage, Paul raises it up twice. It says, whatever the circumstance, good, bad, high, low, well-fed, hungry, in any of it, he says, I've learned to be content. As we began this week and joined around the session table, tossed that idea out to our elders and said, what do you think of when you talk about being content or the idea of contentment? It's a challenging idea or concept to say, what does that really mean? How can Paul say I can be content in whatever circumstance? Well, I think maybe that's because we have some very different ideas about what contentment might mean, and I want to explore that a little bit today. And to start by saying, I think we probably are much more familiar with, it's maybe easier to put our finger on, discontentment, right? That's probably something we understand very well. Probably every day there's some moment, some event, some situation where we are discontent, where we are upset or frustrated, impatient or angry or fearful. Something's not going the way we planned. Something's come up unexpectedly, and we're not happy about it. How many of you would say in the last week, you have been discontent with something? Yeah. We experience a lot of discontentment. It feels like it's just a part of how we're wired, that there's always something that just is wrong. So we know what discontent feels like. It's when you're unhappy with your circumstance, when you're frustrated with what's going on. So then is contentment then the opposite of saying, I'm happy with the circumstance? I think that's sort of how we were thinking about it earlier this week. But can that really be what Paul's talking about? Say, I'm happy with whatever the circumstances are? I don't think that's what he's getting at, because if we know anything about Paul, as he writes this letter to the Philippians, he's in prison. He's in jail for preaching and sharing the good news. It's not a happy, warm, fuzzy place. I don't think he's saying, boy, I'm really glad I'm here. Woohoo! No. Contentment must be something else. But what is contentment? Again, a lot of ideas about it. Some, I think, maybe look back to the ancient mystics and say, well, contentment is sort of that stoicism that says, I will let nothing impact my emotional state of well-being, that that good or bad, I will stay stoic, disengaged from the good or the bad. I don't think that's contentment, as Paul's speaking about it. I don't think contentment is saying I like what's going on. Now, it might be in those great high moments, saying, "Woo, this is awesome!" When I have plenty and I feel full and satisfied. But what about all those moments where it's not going as planned and where things are challenging, where life is hard, where I'm in one of those valleys? I don't think contentment, as Paul's writing about it here, is saying I'm happy about that or I like this moment in this situation. No. Nor do I think Paul's saying that we are content in the way of just settling for whatever we find, for wherever we are. Paul himself wrote, talking about striving and on towards what is ahead. There was much yet to be done. He wasn't content, satisfied to stay as is. He said, "I press on. I've not yet reached the goal." So I don't think he's talking about contentment as just being okay with everything. It's fine as is. In fact, if we pay attention to Paul and his writings much, there's actually, I think he talks about almost a holy discontent in his life. And if we're, as Christians, I think that's a part of our wiring. So we say we're following after Jesus is to say, I'm not content with where I'm at in my life connection with God and with Christ, trying to become like Christ. There's a holy discontent in me in that there's still too much ugliness in my life, still too much selfishness and greed, still too much pettiness, still too much hate and anger. So I don't think Paul's saying, well, just be content with wherever you're at and however you are. No. I think he's saying something else here. And to help us get to it, I want to raise up a different passage this morning. A passage where Paul uses in the Greek the same word for content, although in this other passage it's not translated that way. And that often is how we look into the ancient texts and gain understanding, because we don't necessarily have these ancient words in many places to flesh out exactly what all it means. Paul writes about contentment in a different sense in 2 Corinthians 9. We've heard this passage before, verses 6 through 8. He says, as he's talking to the Corinthian congregation about their stewardship, their giving, he says, "Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And we've talked about that some in the past. And then Paul, and he says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need." And here's the same word that is translated content in our Philippians passage. "Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So Paul's writing there, he's saying to those who are giving, he says, look, as you give, God responds and gives to you what you need, so that in your circumstance, you will have enough. Enough to get through it, enough to do what's required, enough to be responsible. Contentment, I think, then, as Paul is writing about it, might be defined this way, as knowing you have all you need for the present circumstance. You have all that you need for the present circumstance. Now, maybe we've never thought about contentment that way, but I think that's what Paul's raising up here when he talks about hey, when things are good and when things are bad, when it's high, low, when I'm well-fed and I'm hungry, I have all that I need to respond, to live in that moment. Doesn't mean I'm happy about that moment. Doesn't mean I like what's going on in all those moments, in those circumstances. But I have the resources, the wherewithal, to respond and to live appropriately in them. That's what I think he's talking about when he speaks about contentment. And where does that begin? How does Paul say that? Because I can honestly say, I don't think I could write those words. I can be content in all circumstances. Well, I think it's something Paul learned. It's what he says, right? He says, I've learned the secret to be content. It's not natural. It's not easy. It's not something that we just discover and voila, it happens. No. Paul's learned it over the hard knocks of life. You know, if you look through the book of Acts, you pay attention to all that Paul went through. When we talk about his highs and lows, there's a lot more lows than highs in that life. Shipwrecks, stonings, beatings, on and on it goes. He's experienced a whole host of highs and lows and challenges in his life. And along the way, somewhere along the way, he learned, he grew into the secret of contentment. And what does he say the secret is? Verse 13. I can do all these things through him who gives me strength. Now, that verse has probably been misrepresented in the Christian church, and particularly in the sports world, far too much. Right? So, athletes, after a great win, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, I don't think what Paul wrote here means you can do anything, even the impossible, if you just have Jesus. No, did you see, if it's connected to verses 11 and 12, as it is in our letter, if we don't pull it out, this is how Paul says, I can learn to be content. That I know I have enough to get through the high and the low. That I know I have the wherewithal, the strength, the resource. I have all that I require to get through it because of Christ. Because he's the one who gives me the strength to get through it. See, what he's saying is, as Christians, we have a unique resource, a well that we can go to, if you will, to draw upon, that will give us strength, that will provide us with endurance, patience, gentleness, faithfulness. Other places Paul writes about the fruits of the Spirit. This is what we've got. We have this resource in Christ as we're connected to Jesus to respond to the highs and the lows of life and not be overwhelmed by them. That's what Paul's secret is. I've learned to be content. Not okay with the situation, not liking the situation, not happy about the situation, no. But I know I've got the resources in Christ to get through it. And Paul, in other parts of chapter 4, highlights some of the other ways in which he draws on that strength, that connection to Christ. He speaks about prayer earlier on, before the passage we read this morning. He says, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. He says, in everything you're wrestling with, bring it in prayer to God. That's a part of the connection and union with Christ. This is how I draw upon that resource. I say, God, this is too much for me. I can't handle this. And Jesus says, I know. That's why I'm here. That's why I want to give you my strength, my resolve to support you, to hold you up. Beginning of our letter, Paul writes And he says, I'm so glad that you've shared your concern with me. That's another way in which Paul is drawing upon the strength in Christ, is by the community of faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ concerned and coming alongside him in his challenges. I see that time and again as I visit folks in the midst of crisis. Particularly in medical crisis, often folks who are in the hospital or at home under hospice care, folks who know the end is not far. Those who respond to that and live into that well, with confidence and assurance. Those who draw upon the strength of the community of faith to come alongside them. Charlene, just passed this week. Amazing. It was maybe 6-7 weeks ago she received a terminal diagnosis of cancer. And they knew there was nothing really to be done. And that woman spent those last many weeks with dear friends of faith coming alongside her and supporting her, holding her up, encouraging her, praying for her and with her. And because of that, she was able to bear in that season. She was able to live into it, knowing she had all it took. It wasn't going to change, and it didn't. Death is still there, but she lived into that moment with great confidence and courage, because she knew she wasn't alone. She knew Christ was journeying with her, and her community of faith was with her as well. That, friends, that is the secret to being content. We have this union with Christ, and he is the one who gives us strength. If we would ask for it, if we would seek it out, say, God, I need you. That's how we live. Content. Not satisfied, not happy about the challenges of life, but knowing we have what it takes to get through it, because we are not alone. Because in Christ, we have the strength to do and to bear all things. Gracious God, what a gift you've given us. We are not alone. We don't go through the highs and the lows of this life by ourselves, but rather you journey with us. And you provide us your strength, your courage, your fortitude, your love. We thank you, O Lord, for the ways in which we have seen that in the lives of the saints who have gone before us, and we would pray indeed for that strength in the days to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, as we gather and to respond to God's faithfulness and journeying with us in our highs and lows, we give of our tithes, our gifts, our offering. We'd also invite you to take a moment to fill out those reply cards, to drop those in the offering basket as well today. For all of us, respond to God's goodness. Let us worship.